There's a Super Bowl game being played today. For once, New England is not in it. They're feeling deflated. See a little inside joke there. You got to know football to get that joke. Kansas City is in it. Kansas City, and you may have heard that their Kansas City's team barber tested positive for COVID, and so they had to. They had to pull him, and it looks like they pulled him in the middle of Patrick Mahomes' haircut, doesn't it? Just okay, you guys aren't catching this up. Do you guys know that there's a football game? Okay, it's this oblong brown thing, and all right, one more time. Brian, you're catching this, right? Okay, so Tom Brady, polarizing figure, all right? On the one hand, he has 5 Super Bowl rings, but on the other, he only has 1. All right, this is what happens. So there's Super Bowl games, there's Super Bowl halftime shows, there's Super Bowl commercials, and not because you were not laughing at my jokes, there is going to be a Super Bowl Bible test right now. Right now. You ever hear the expression, cleanliness is next to godliness? Yes, you know that expression, right? You know where you find that in the Bible? All right, here's your 3 choices, all right? There's Matthew, Jesus says it right after he's baptized. There's Leviticus, if you're familiar with Leviticus, then you're familiar with all the clean and unclean animals and procedures and things like that. And then there's also Proverbs, because it kind of sounds like Proverbs, doesn't it? So which one do you think it is going to be? And the answer is, boom, it's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. You know, if it helps you get the kids to the bath, okay, but don't tell them it's in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. What about God will not give you more than you can handle? Do you ever hear that? You know where you find that in the Bible? Well, you don't. You find something like it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, where we are told that God will not, we will not face a temptation that God will not also give us an escape, give us a way out. And then finally, God helps those who help themselves. You know where to find that in the Bible? Sounds like Paul, maybe Shakespeare quoting the Bible, maybe Benjamin Franklin. Actually, the idea comes all the way back from ancient Greece, Aesop. You ever hear of him? Aesop's Fables? You ever hear of that? All right, so the story is this wagoner, and he's got the wagon, and he's going through this muddy road, and it gets into a really deep part of the mud, and the wheels just sink all the way down, and he can't get it out. The horses are pulling. He still can't get it out, and so he falls on his face and says, "Oh, Hercules, God of strength, please, you know, help me get the wagon out of the mud." And apparently Hercules appears and says, "Get up and put your shoulder to the wheel. The gods help those who help themselves." But it isn't in the Bible. Because the fact is, Christianity is not a John Wayne, pull yourselves up from your own with your own bootstraps type of relationship with God. God knows our struggles. God knows our weaknesses. God knows and provides. Christianity is not a course in self-help. The problem with self-help is we are turning to the person, ourselves, who most likely put us in the predicament that we're in. So why would we turn to ourselves? That's what happened to Israel. Israel had no one to blame but themselves. You ever hear that song? No one to blame but myself. They had been warned many times. And then the consequences hit. Now the consequences are kind of over. They are no longer in exile, but neither are they home. How are they going to get home? During the past 12 months, we've seen the arrival of a pandemic, a falsely contested election, a nationwide social movement and racial reckoning, the end of one presidential impeachment and the beginning of another, widespread economic uncertainty, and the storming of the U.S. Capitol. Certainly, it's been a rough year all the way around, and we're dealing with the consequences, just like Israel. Isaiah is speaking to people who are in exile. They are in a place they don't belong. Think about that. Are you in a place you don't belong? And they are tired, and they're doubting, and they're feeling powerless. And so Isaiah speaks to them, and he speaks to us. Do you not know? Have you not heard? In other words, Isaiah is saying, do you not remember? Our life with God is not dependent on our faithfulness, our decision-making, or our effort. Yes, there are important consequences for making poor choices, but our effort is an inadequate source of hope or nourishment when souls and hope run dry. But God is never a God of discouragement. God may bring conviction, but God never brings discouragement. God is a God of hope and encouragement. We are reminded that God is with us. God not only created the heavens and the earth, not only created the stars, God knows the names of the stars. And God created us and knows us and names us as God's children. The Christian message is not God helps those who help themselves. It's the opposite. It's this. God helps those who recognize that they can't help themselves. Try as we might, we are incapable of providing for ourselves the kind of help we actually need. We lack the power, the patience, the goodness, the self-discipline, and even the willpower. Romans 5:8 reminds us that while we were yet sinners and unable to help ourselves, Christ died for us, proving how much God loves us, how amazing grace is, and how incapable of helping ourselves we truly are. See, it's not about our faithfulness. It's about God's faithfulness. I asked earlier, how was Israel going to get back home, back to the promised land, back to where they belonged? And for us, how are we going to get to a place of hope and healing, of strength and comfort? One step at a time. That's how we get there. If you study Hebrew poetry, you will learn that triplets, that's a three-line sequence, like the one at the end of this chapter, grows in emphasis from the first to the last. In other words, the last line is more important than the middle line, and the middle line is more important than the first line, which seems counterintuitive to me when you look at it in our passage. I would have said, they shall walk and not faint, they shall run and not grow weary, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. But Isaiah's order is the exact opposite, and it's not a mistake, it's deliberate. See, I would think flying like an eagle is the pinnacle, that's the climax, that's the big moment, not walking without falling down. But here's the thing. Sometimes, no matter how much we want to soar like an eagle, all we can do is barely manage to put one foot in front of the other, over and over and over again. That's the pinnacle. That's the climax. That's the very best thing, is simply to be able to walk in faith and with strength, because God accompanies us. I'm sure some of you are familiar with the song, Bridge Over Troubled Waters. And I'd like to just read some of the lyrics with you. When you're weary, feeling small, when tears are in your eyes, I'll dry them all. I'm on your side when times get rough and friends just can't be found. Like a bridge over troubled water, I will lay me down. When you're down and out, when you're on the street, when evening falls so hard, I will comfort you. I'll take your part when darkness comes and pain is all around. Like a bridge over troubled water, I will lay me down. So sail on, silver girl, sail on by. Your time has come to shine. All your dreams are on their way. See how they shine. And if you need a friend, I'm sailing right behind. Like a bridge over troubled water, I will ease your mind. This table that we're getting ready to come to is one way that we experience God's presence and a meal that offers us communion with God and with one another. There, here, we are welcomed without qualification. Everyone has a place because it's not about us. It's about God and God's deep desire to be with us. God does not help those who help themselves. God helps those who need it. God helps us all. Amen.